Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Cat lovers and feline friends, it's time for Adele Park's Quirky Catnips.
Today on Quirky Catnips, we're airing a chapter of Quirky Cat Goes Splat by Adele Park. This frightfully funny tale is narrated by the ever-so-snarky Skitters the Cat. Find out what happens when Skitters goes cattywampus for a kitten named Harriet. Tune in each week to hear a new chapter of Quirky Cat Goes Splat, only on Pet Life Radio. Meow, kitties!
Audio recording St. George presents Quirky Cat Goes Splat. Written, produced, and edited by Adele Park. Narrated by a full cast.
Splat!
Meow, bitches.
Twisted Tales by Skitters the Cat. Part 14.
I know dead when I smell it. Grundle, my dog friend, reeks of moldering rodents on a regular basis. He's so big and harmless, no one in Naval seems to mind that he roams around like a slobbering lump of brown fur. Grundle has never met a deceased animal that he doesn't want to lick like a good humor bar. The people of Naval, and many of their pets, Grundle and myself excluded, cling to the snatchy idea there is life after death. If this was the case, how come dead bodies rot so quickly? How are these folks going to prance around the celestial kingdom if their flesh has decomposed to the point where there isn't anything to hold their skeletons together? And what about the terminal smell? If God wanted us to live at his house, wouldn't you think he'd dispense with the putrid odors? I was disappointed to learn Harriet buys into the idea of a grand afterlife where she gets all the food she wants and doesn't have to worry about being suppered on by coyotes or whatever else prowls around at Juniper Hollow. I know what it's like to lose your mother at an early age. Mine was splattered like a chocolate cream pie dropped from an airplane while she was trying to scrounge up food on the mean streets of Los Angeles. The tragedy impacted me for sure. But I'm not willing to drink the Kool-Aid about the pearly gates of heaven. No offense to Harriet, but I really don't buy the cat in the hat nonsense the polygamists peddle. According to Harriet, her entire religion is based on testimony from a guy named Joseph Smith, who stuck his head in a hat and proclaimed to be channeling the word of God. In all likelihood, all Joseph Smith was receiving were hallucinations brought on by a lack of oxygen. Incredibly, he was able to turn this gibberish into an opportunity to bugger scores of religiously gullible women. If Harriet's ideas about the afterlife were really true, Juniper Hollow would look like a scene out of Shaun of the Dead. Forbidden Lake is sautéed with the remains of discarded polygamists. The water is so nasty, I doubt even Grundle would drink it. I suppose this is why I was surprised that Taj Wakefield seemed to have no qualms about swimming in this human soup.
Chapter 14. Taj Wakefield.
It all started with a blog message. I hadn't posted anything to Global Splash in weeks. Other than the pool at Gecko's Gulch and the one in Naval, I haven't dipped my toes in foreign waters all summer, unless you count Forbidden Lake. My stomach pulled off a Rodney Dangerfield-style triple Lindy when I logged into my blog and saw a picture of the lake at Juniper Hollow. There was no mistaking it, what with the pavilion and all. The post read, "Why don't you write a review about this place?" Brandon completely lost his shit when I showed it to him. Moon had called the day before, warning Brandon to steer clear of Juniper Hollow. That was all good and fine with Brandon. He'd already pulled off his mega mission. I, on the other hand, was out $75 for the pipe and coupling I had express delivered to Gecko's Gulch. I'd spent days researching how to fix the plumbing for the baptism font at Juniper Hollow. All I wanted was one quick swim across the stupid thing. I'm kinda obsessed with it. After I finished the mission there, I was going to quit blogging about swimming and start writing about food. I just needed to go out with a bang. My mom always says, be careful what you wish for. Now I know why. It was mom's fault I started acting like the naughty nozzle water blaster I got for my birthday one year. I wanted to whiz all over everyone, except my dad. I'd gotten over being pissed at him once I realized mom was hot for her boss at the magazine. Dad says he's dumping her, but I don't know that for sure, since mom doesn't talk about anything but the weather when she calls. That isn't very often, by the way. Dad says mom is trying to find herself. So what? Is she trying to lose me? She certainly wouldn't be the first mom to do that. Brandon says I should blow all this off and concentrate on trying to hook up with Danica. On that front, I have made a little progress. Right before Randall took Moon and the twins to California, we were driving to a Garden of Goodness grocery after work when we saw Danica walking home from the pool. I'm usually done at the bakery before Randall is finished up at the best little hair house in Naval, so Brandon and I hang around the city pool a lot. The girl he likes, Courtney, is an extreme tanorexic. Her skin is darker than mine. Funny how being born with a perpetual tan is a bad thing, but turning that way on purpose is a sign of beauty. I notice Courtney never gets in the pool, probably because she doesn't want to mess up her poofy hair and caked-on makeup. Danica doesn't wear any makeup, and she gets in the pool all the time. She wears her hair pinched in a waterspout bun on top of her head. Danica looks like a brunette version of Pebbles from the Flintstones. I think Danica's the cutest girl in town, even though Brandon says she's only a 7. I'd had a few brief conversations with Danica, mostly when she's yelling at me and Brandon to clear the pool. I take my time on purpose, just so she'll say something to me. That's why I almost had a 5-alarm seizure when Randall pulled the van over and asked Danica if she wanted a ride home. He rolled up right next to her, like one of those pervs they warn you about in Stranger Danger assemblies. Danica leapt back on the sidewalk, looking more than a little anxious. Holy Krishna. It seemed obvious Danica didn't want a ride, but she got in anyway. Maybe because Brandon snapped open the sliding door on the van, leaving her no option. Brandon moved to the passenger seat next to Randall, freeing up his spot for Danica. She smelled like sunscreen. Her skin was so warm from lifeguarding all day, I could feel it radiating. Retard vark that I am, I started babbling some schizo stuff that made absolutely no sense. I couldn't help myself. How was lifeguarding today? Did you have to save anyone? How many people have you rescued? I thought about becoming a lifeguard, but then never took the training. Is it hard? How long have you been doing it? Brandon was gesturing wildly from the front seat for me to shut up. I tried, but the words were spewing out like verbal diarrhea. I noticed you have a limp. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be rude. I've watched you swim and I'm absolutely fascinated. Super. Now I sounded like a stalker. Why couldn't I close my yapper? I began hoping we'd get in a head-on collision. Anything to stop this social suicide. Finally, Randall interrupted to ask for directions to Danica's house. I'm not sure Randall's van had even come to a complete stop before Danica opened the sliding door and practically rolled out. She didn't run to the door, but she made it there in record time. I was twisting up for a good self-slamming when Brandon discovered Danica had left her towel in the van. Having just witnessed my dingus dimwit show, Brandon offered to walk to the door with me. Randall stopped him with a firm no. He then instructed me to man up and go by myself. Strange, but the best advice I've ever gotten about girls came from a flamingly gay dude. Heading to the door, I felt a wave of perspiration soak my entire body. Even my junk was sweating. I spent a few horrifying moments wondering if it looked like I'd wet my knickers. I decided to face the embarrassment that lay behind door number 2, rather than return to the van in shame. Mrs. Creighton answered the bell. Awesome, possum. Now I get to deal with Danica's mom. I was about to drop the towel and run, especially after Mrs. Creighton looked out at the van idling near the curb. It was Western Wonders Week at the best little hair house in Naval. Randall was decked out in assless chaps. Thankfully, he had a pair of golf shorts on underneath. Randall had dyed his hair goober green and molded it into a human ice cream swirl. Brandon didn't come across looking like he was ready for church either. The shirt he was wearing looked like it had been used to wrap a chili cheese dog in. Skitters was all mashed up on the dashboard, covering the AC vent. It was the cat version of pressing a butt up against a piece of glass. Just as I was about to die of humiliation, Danica came up behind her mother and reached for the towel with her left hand. Weird. Then I figured out why. She'd written down her phone number and was giving it to me with the other hand. The heavens opened up and started playing a divinely inspired love ballad. Maybe something with harps? I wasn't sure what that might be. It sure wasn't a tune from the Rectal Surgeons. The most romantic song those guys ever recorded was Release the Chocolate Hostage.
Hang tight, kiddies. We'll be back in a scratch.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Pack your bags, kiddies. It's time to take a trip to quirky cannabis country. Find out what happens when a writer turns to reality TV as a way to cure an apocalyptic case of writer's block. Reefer Madness Ensues in Quirky Cannabis Country by Adele Park. Get Quirky Cannabis Country today on Audible.com, Overdrive, and BookBeat.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
We now return to more of Quirky Cat Goes Splat by Adele Park on Pet Life Radio.
Driving back to Naval, I tried to express my extreme gratitude to Randall until Brandon piped up and told me to stop being such a kiss-ass. Besides helping me to score Danica's digits, Randall is also helping me spiff up my looks. I really can't talk to Brandon about this kind of thing. Brandon calls me the Brown Babushka of Baskerville, his way of saying my looks have gone to the dogs. I've always been jealous of Brandon's shoulder-length hair. It has the perfect amount of curl, which means he looks totally fly without having to lift a finger. No chance of me ever pulling that off. Because my parents worry about people mistaking me for a terrorist, I have to keep my hair short and my clothes neat. My bangs are so straight, they could cut paper. Randall says if I want to make it with Danica, I need to lose what he calls my Urkel-inspired hairdo. It was easier to accomplish than I imagined. Just a few minutes in Randall's chair, plus about a gallon of hair goo, and I had a completely different style. I called my new look Spike Mania. I looked like a Pakistani porcupine. Phase 2 of my little brown makeover dealt with clothes. Randall told me if I kept wearing short-sleeved dress shirts, I shouldn't expect to go anywhere except alone to the dance. Message received. I was relieved when Randall suggested I turn up the collars on my golf shirts instead of burning them with the rest of the stuff in my geek knit collection. My dad is a golfer, so I get shirts from courses all over the world. I was surprised to learn just turning up the collar somehow made them look cool. This hasn't stopped Brandon from launching a load of crap at me over it. Before the twins left for California, Brandon had them turn up the collars on the dresses they were wearing and make a big deal about it in front of everyone at a Taste of Heaven bakery. I'm not sure if my coworkers got the joke, but they all knew I was being majorly razzed by 2 6-year-olds. I'm just glad I learned my lesson about weenie bikinis before I met Brandon. Everyone in Europe wears them. They're super comfortable. I didn't know any better until we moved to Las Vegas. My new friends totally scorched me, calling it a scrokini, pointing out girls don't like to see our packages. They actually had a point, especially when it's cold and they mistakenly think you don't have one. Brandon is always bitching about not having enough money, yet he earns way more than I do and hardly has to work at all. I bust my butt at the bakery, and it isn't daintily decorating pedophores. Most of my job consists of emptying garbage cans filled with the grossest glop, cleaning out the fryers for the donuts, sweeping, mopping, scrubbing, and anything else that is smelly, sticky, or unpleasant. Occasionally, I get to work the counter, boxing up donuts and cookies. Mostly, though, it's just grit and grime. I never knew so much gunk could be generated in a business that literally spins sugar. While it's true I do have a credit card, that's only for emergencies. My parents get the statement, so if I was loading it up with video games and gummy bears, I'd hear about it. That's why I was so fixated on completing my mission at Juniper Hollow. Parting with $75 to fix a pipe on someone else's property represented a shift and a half at the bakery. Brandon, by contrast, pulls down at least that much during just one lunch hour. The only consolation I get from this is watching Brandon towing that dweeby-looking child carrier behind his bike. "Have you no pride?" I asked one afternoon. Instead of answering, Brandon pulled out the wad of cash he earned that day. I don't tease Brandon about his gay sleigh anymore. What I couldn't figure out is why Brandon was suddenly on the straight and narrow. We both got a little freaked when we realized those purple flowers we picked for Courtney were poisonous. Who would have figured? We always thought belladonna was something with berries. The plants at Juniper Hollow are big purple blooms that even guys think are pretty. Brandon's new follow the rules thing was just plain bizarre. Neither one of us wanted to blow our deal at Gecko's Gulch, but since when did Brandon do what he's told? That's usually a signal that he's grinding up to do just the opposite. Something about Juniper Hollow was bugging Brandon. If knowing the mob owned the place wasn't enough to keep him away, then what had changed? He kept trying to talk me out of completing my mission. I couldn't understand what the big deal was. All I needed to do was install the new pipe and coupling, open the valve, and wait a few hours. I was torqued to the core when Brandon wouldn't go there to help me. "Chill out, dude," I told him. "This isn't the Blair Witch Project." Later, I wondered if I jinxed myself by saying that. I had promised to serve my mission at the stroke of midnight, hoping that it would make it a little more spectacular. After all, I was only swimming a few strokes across a baptism pool that was barely 4 feet deep. We were still a few weeks away from a full moon, so it would be plenty dark when I did it. Brandon had spent the day wringing his hands over a phone call from Moon. He didn't think Moon knew he'd swiped Randall's van, but she was plenty steamed about the flowers. Brandon had gotten away with the worst of it, yet he was acting like a worried wussy. I went out to Juniper Hollow by myself. Replacing the pipe wasn't as easy as I thought. It was like someone had cemented the system into place. I wasn't in a good mood when I got back to Gecko's Gulch. After an exasperating, hot, and super annoying afternoon, I'd finally managed to get the water flowing into the baptism font. I kept the valve mostly closed, not wanting to have the thing fill up too quickly. I guess I underestimated how long that would take. After dinner, Brandon tried to talk me out of going back to Juniper Hollow. "I've got the irrigation turned on, Brandon. Stop being such a gutless pansy." It didn't matter what I said. Brandon wouldn't budge. Brandon's stepmom, Blue, makes everyone watch this Don Knotts movie called The Ghost and Mr. Chicken. There's this scene where Luther, the scaredy cat of Rachel, Kansas, has to go to the haunted house all by himself at the stroke of midnight. That's how I came up with the idea of serving my mission at night. Back then, I thought Brandon would be part of the deal. Fuming over the fight with Brandon helped me deal with the willies I had about this mission. I left Gecko's Gulch around 11 o'clock. I let Skitters jump in the cargo bin just so I'd have some company. It usually takes about a half hour to ride to Juniper Hollow, but I had to add in a short hike. Whenever Brandon and I sneak out at night, we stash one of the ATVs in this spot about a quarter mile from the compound, so no one will hear the machines. I kept looking back to see if he would follow me. He never did. It was a dark and scary ride to Juniper Hollow, even with the headlight on my ATV showing the path in front of me. Being mad as hell helped me get through the worst of it. My plan was to use the headlight on the ATV to illuminate the pool. A long time ago, I had learned how to use the timer on my camera. I'd set the thing up, take a quick splash in the creepy font, make sure the camera got some clear shots, and be on my merry way. It didn't work out like that at all. By the time I turned into the entrance to Juniper Hollow, I was so wound up with anger and fear, my mind flipped to the far side when something touched my ankles. I gunned the ATV forward, trying to escape, only to get more of it. What the heck? A huge glop of mud hit me in the chest. It hadn't rained in weeks. Oh no, the font must have filled up quicker than I thought. I stopped the ATV, taking a second to look around. The headlight on the machine put out a decent amount of light, showing me more than I wanted to see. The entire yard was covered in a blanket of water. I looked to the baptism font. There, in the middle of it, was a floating corpse. Holy cow-slapping shit. Was this for real? My knees were actually knocking. I forced myself to take a second peek. The figure looked like a little kid, one with long hair, wearing a white nightgown. Oh, shiznits. It was freaking Evangeline. The reality that I might have killed her overrode my panic. Without thinking, I waded through the soggy yard. There was so much water, I couldn't see where the steps that led down into the pool started. I misplaced my foot, falling face first into the corpse. I landed on Evangeline, plunging her body under the water. I splashed around like a spastic idiot, trying to pull Evangeline to safety. She hadn't uttered a single sound, a signal I took to mean she wasn't breathing. Because of my parents' jobs with the airlines, our whole family takes an annual CPR class. I thought the course was a total snooze. In this moment, however, I was damn glad for it. The thought of having to place my mouth on Evangeline's stirred my stomach. I was willing to do it anyway. Dragging her to a place in the yard where there wasn't so much water, I tilted her head back. Just then, she grabbed my hand, staring at me with those vacant eyes.
Ah!
What happens when cosmetics and polygamy collide? Find out in Quirky Killers by Adele Park. Take a trip to quirky polygamist country, where one of the local brides is just itching to get her husbands to heaven in a hurry. Quirky Killers. Get it today on audible.com. You'll die laughing.
Let's Talk Pets. Every week on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.